It's a vibe. It's really good. It's a vibe. We have a green light on the jewel policy. We have mood candles. We got some Palo Santo if you're trying to spark a vibe in here.
What is that?
What is Palo Santo?
Yeah.
Invented by the French in 1535. Palo Santo is it's a vibe curator.
Oh, okay. I see. Here's the thing. You seem like a dude that would know exactly where and when it came from.
No, I'm bullshitting. Honestly, I have a hard time with like spirituality. I don't the whole crystal thing. I can't do crystals. I can't do
medicine. I have a lot to say on it.
But I will burn some Palo Santo.
That shit smells good.
Yeah, that's really.
There's like, what are you gonna do with the crystals?
Once you start
put it
blessing
down?
Me with it, once you start giving to the rituals with it, Ash has just got her arms folded. She's not having.
I know Babs is the same way. That she loves a crystal.
So here's what we're doing here. All right.
Yeah. By the way, this is great. This is really, really cool. I first and foremost, my love of like any sort of media is radio.
Oh.
I think it's so fascinating, and I think it's so cool. So I love doing this stuff. And a long time ago, when Ema and I first started, I had a show on Adobe for like 2 years. It would be just me and Mike Fishkin in like not this room. They're small. This was like 3 buildings ago. Mm-hmm. It was at the crossroads of the world, which was the first mall in America, allegedly. I looked it up because I was like, "What could this fucking place be?" Anyway, it's just gross and weird and old, but it's on Hollywood, so it's whatever.
That's all you need to say.
Ever, whatever. It would be me. I was going through a very terrible, like, breakup or, like, relationship. It would be me and Mike in a small room, and I would talk about how sad I was for an hour, and then I would come back next week and do the same thing, and I made Mike listen to this for, like, a year to the point where, like, all of these, like, people that were listening to Adobe would be like, "Is Morgan okay this week? We're worried about
that
Morgan."
That could have been the name of the segment.
Like, imagine just people, like, trying to... after that, I was like, I probably shouldn't have done that, although it was very funny. I tried to make it as funny as possible, but I was like, imagine all these people trying to tune in and listen to, like, Sum 41, and then they're, like, hearing this dude being like, "I don't know if I can go on, dude. I think she was the one." Just like, so like I did that with Fish, and like it was just, I loved it. I loved being here.
I genuinely believe that in some weird convoluted way you wouldn't be here promoting sad music in so many ways without being so intimately connected to your own experience, to your own sadness. So on behalf of the world, I'm grateful that you find ways to tap into it.
And thank you for asking me to do this. This is cool, man. I was so excited to see your name doing this, because I always thought that you'd be great at whatever hosting position.
Wow. Thank you. Well, when I was actually in grade 11, I was...
I also forgot you're from Canada, right?
I was raised in Toronto, Canada. Wow. Born in New Jersey, raised in Toronto, Canada. I had a program in my high school that was called the co-op program, and it was kind of like slave labor, like unpaid internship for high school credit. And I just knew I wanted to do something in music. My first request was for... a recording studio. They couldn't find any in Toronto that would take me, so I was interning at Virgin Radio, 99.9 Virgin Radio in Toronto at the intersection of Yonge and St. Clair, for all the real ones out there that know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I got there so excited. I was like, what are we going to be doing? Am I going to be producing? Am I going to be making beats? Am I going to be like on air? And I was in the mailroom picking contest winners, scrolling through hours of footage to find the sponsored shout outs that they can then send to prove to those people to get their money. And it was one of the single most awful experiences, because I felt so close to what I really wanted to do, which is like make stuff, have an opinion about things. And instead I was in this, like, I was mailing these contest winners. At one point I just had to make phone calls for like 4 hours, and so I started trying to do different accents, and I'm so bad at accents, and I'd start breaking in the middle of them, and I got like a C on that. And the dude that was my boss was such a dick, and his breath was so bad. His breath has haunted me for years.
It's incredible
how
much detail you can remember from this.
Early morning cigarette breath, and I just will always remember John Downey telling me that I like won't be shit, and like, oh man, John, suck my dick.
Isn't
Look
that
at
weird?
Us now.
Isn't that a weird thing to think about those moments? Do you have a bunch of those?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in therapy trying to navigate, like, where is my ambition solely tethered to proving anything to my antagonist that probably, that literally either don't matter or don't exist. What that guy is up to now, who the fuck knows? How he would feel if he found out that I was doing anything probably would be indifferent at most.
At most, which is, know? Dude, I left a date. I might have told this story before. I don't know if I left a date because I was imagining some, I like had a, like a, fuck, I forgot the word, but I had like a crisis, internal, like an internal meltdown where like, so this girl's like, first, like a weird first date sort of thing. And she was like, it's like one of those weird things. Like, what colors do you, you know, like one of those fucking things, like trying to get to know each other, but in like a very juvenile way. Right. So it's, When that happens, I was already like, this is not going well because,
we're reaching.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about what is your favorite color. Anyway, she was like, do you like, what foods do you think are, do you like or don't like? And I was like, look, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know, some are great. Most are great. You know, and then I started thinking, she had like bell pepper. And I was like, you know what? I had an existential crisis is what I had when I could not remember what I had. She had bell peppers, and I was like, I don't care if I would ever have a bell pepper again. I could, or like I couldn't, it would make no difference to me, right? And I was like, what if I don't want anybody to think about me the way that I think about a bell pepper? Like, I want somebody to like either be like, I fucking really, really like that guy, or I fucking hate that guy and never want to see him again. Mm. Like, I would never want anybody to be indifferent about me. And so anyway, I was like, hey, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go make some stuff.
I was like, I gotta get out of here. So this poor girl is probably gonna be like, yeah, I mentioned like a bell pepper and then he freaked out and then fucking left like a psycho. Like, so anyway,
shout out to her. Now you guys are married, which is so tight.
It is really, really great. We're expecting our first child.
Wow.
Did you get fired from that radio station?
I didn't. I think we made it the whole way. You did. There you go.
I got fired from a radio station.
Well, here you are.
They were like, you have one job. Don't drink. Oh. And I was like, okay. And then it was like some festival thing. And like one of the girls running the vodka tent was like, Morgan, if I knew her from high school or something. And I was like, it was fucking over. I said something embarrassing to like some 41. And then I was like, they're like, you know, they're obviously like, you cannot work here anymore.
Yeah. You're
unfit. When I thought my, you know, crush, that was like the second time or the first time. Like, I was like, oh, my dream and being in some sort of this field of whatever is, I'm never going to do it. I can't do it. So.
All right, dude. Well, it was great to see you.
All right. Well, I'll see you guys later.
So I guess what I've been up to for the last little while. I've been on tour mostly and trying to get this music shit popping off.
Do you enjoy tour?
I really do.
You're never going to get through any of these things, dude. I'm more interested in you.
I get it. I do. I really do enjoy tour. It is the most visceral, I get to reach out and touch the people that I'm that give a fuck. And I feel that so much of my world lives on Instagram and Spotify, two places where there is a very quantifiable public barometer for how I'm doing, you know, like how my biggest song is doing, how my second biggest song, those numbers are publicly available. Mm-hmm. How I am living on this social media weird Black Mirror world to gauge my self-worth and my success.
I hate it.
I'd go
in the ocean if I could.
Man. I don't know how I feel about it because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for it. I have a kind of conflicted relationship.
I don't like it.
I know that I'm on it too much, but when I'm on tour, at least I get to really wrap my head around and be reminded of that those numbers are indicative of of human beings,
sure.
You know? So, right. But at the same time, it's an incredibly enabling environment and there are times where I get a little depersonalized. I can't
remember.
It's
a very depersonalizing thing. I was going to say, because that's the way that I was wondering if anybody else felt that way, because you're in so many places, you see almost the same thing. Mm. It's weird, because it's
weird
almost like a weird glitchy thing. You're like, was that fucking monitor in that place? But I was there yesterday, and we're in a different city. And it's like weird times, you change time zones, it's fucking weird sleep shit. Mm. when we went out, and we were only gone for like a month and a half, right? Like, what, like that's nothing in comparison. But like, we'd never done it before, and it was really weird and really lonely and very just like a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's not anything how I thought it would be growing up.
Yeah, and if I think that I have a great time with it when I view it as this exciting and beautiful means to an end. And if I'm out there for too long, or if I am not creating while I'm out there, if I'm not connecting with that sense of purpose, then I can start losing perspective on what's real life and what is facilitating real life. So I'm back for 2 weeks, and it feels like I'm exclusively off tour to get back on tour. But
like, in limbo? You feel like in limbo right now? Like, have you fully unpacked your suitcase?
It takes me about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't, if I'm only back for 2 weeks, it's literally just, it's better for my brain to stay on tour. So it's only when I actually have the time that I can begin to unpack these things. And it's so interesting that I used to have this real sense of pride in how isolated I felt from the rock scene, from other musicians and producers. But by the time I got off tour, it was like, I need, this really happened, right? Like, and the only way I can be reminded of that is by kicking it with other people that have done it. And for me, this big thing that kept coming up as I kept working harder was this sense of purpose that I felt like, I felt really, a little part of me is just doing this out of ego. Like, I'm just trying to get as fucking big and successful as popular. And that was really terrifying for me and really humiliating. I was embarrassed by that, because I've grown up in a family with two older sisters and a family that just is so passionate about progressivism, making the world a better place. And I was always
felt a little guilt.
Yeah. And I think that, in some ways that is also what kind of pushed the artist project to be more driven, political, but then at times that's almost only reinforcing that ego where I get to pat myself on the back and feel like, look at all these people that don't give a fuck, that aren't making a difference.
Like, I mean, it's the same thing as like being like, doing a completely selfless act to eventually make yourself feel better, right? Like, I mean, it's like it in any shape or form. Like, if I was to just, I think I'm a nice person by nature. Like, so I do nice things, not expecting anything in return, right? But like, it's a weird thing to be like, fucking expect that back, you know. It's like, it just doesn't make,
it's confusing.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah. Well, I guess that what I started hanging with other people, and I just sort of felt like all these artists and people around me that I had been under the impression, if I only got as popular as them, that they had it figured out, and then none of us did. But there was a certain sense of community in that, and my favorite thing to do is just to try to get to the bottom of why we do what we do, what is fulfilling, and also understanding that the best thing I can do is facilitate other people's I don't feel particularly special in how confused I am often about my sense of purpose. It is not lost on me how unbelievably lucky I am that I just got the right lottery, you know, number, and here I am being able to do this thing that is so fucking sick. I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
That's the way that I think. I think it's like right time, right place, right people.
It's a confluence of being really lucky and being prepared
when
you get lucky.
And working super fucking hard.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do think there's a weird luck thing to it, like in some place. And
I think that if you didn't feel lucky, then you would, that is a sense of hubris.
Yeah.
That's ego. And anyways, I just wanted a space to be able to have these conversations and have them archived for myself and for anyone that is a fan of what I do and a fan of what the other people that I have on do. And we can just suss this shit out, because I don't know. It's just what I enjoy.
It's important. I think it's great.
So if you're comfortable doing it for technically, this is supposed to be the intro, but we're like halfway through already. I would love for you to just, like, really briefly give the rundown of some of the things you've been doing between Emo Night, obviously, Ride or Cry, us working together on the initial Bloodwater music video was directed by Morgan, and then also maybe digging into community and where your sense of motivation for that sort of outreach that you're doing. Just let's set the stage with what you're up to, where you've been, and where you're going.
You got it. Also, it's you can totally, like, I can be here for longer. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not, like, and then there's, like, I'm sure there's a ton of parts because I completely lost my train of thought back there. You can, like, cut shit out, fucking make it, whatever. Anyway. So you just wanted me to tell you what's been up.
Yeah, yeah. Just give us the rundown, man.
So, as of right now, Emo Night and Rider Cry have been, like, companies for 5 years, going on 5 years, which is really wild because we didn't plan for any of that stuff. Nothing that we've done has been, like, we saw something really cool. We saw something people were gravitating towards. And we just tried to make the next indicated, like, next best step, right? And then we were doing these other things at our other companies before we left, which I got fired from. They quit. But, like, it was a creative agency. And we like doing all the digital strategy. I like shooting music videos. I like writing music videos. I like doing all this, like, experimental marketing shit. I like doing all that stuff. So we started another company on top of the Emo Night one. So building those up for the last 5 years has been, like, an incredible challenge because I am not – that's not my background. My background is, like, drinking Bud Light and playing in bands and generally just sort of getting in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, owning two businesses is not where, you know, I was like, fuck it. I guess this is what we're doing. And I trusted my business partners and I worked really, really hard to try and keep up with things that I didn't understand with. Like, they taught me how to, like, email. You know what I mean? Like, they taught me how to do all these, like, amazing things that, like, just normal people do, but I wasn't used to it. So they gave me a shot, you know what I mean? Like, we all gave each other a shot. They gave me a really big shot because I didn't fucking go to college, you know what I mean?
And who are these business partners that you have, and how did you link up with them?
Babs and TJ, and we worked in the same – I was working in a creative agency. I was working as a fucking – what's, like, a – like, front desk sort of deal. Like, I would, like, get Red Bull, take out trash, like, do that shit, which I was bad at, like, terrible at. Like, I'm not good at that. So I eventually, like, they were like, oh, shit, you, like, I had an idea for, like, a music video or something, whatever. And they're like, oh, shit, Morgan can write this stuff. I eventually started doing all that stuff, but still being the, so anyway, once I wasn't doing that job, I got fired. So, which was totally reasonable, because we were also doing Emo Night, and we were getting all this shit, but Babs and TJ worked in the same building in a different company called doing digital for other artists and, like, entertainers. So we met through there, and that was that, really. And we've, like, pretty much been inseparable for the last, like, 5 years. It's really strange to have, like, I'm in TJ's wedding. Like, it's really, really strange to see the people that we first started as and where we are right now. Because, like, looking back, even though 5 years is not, like, a terribly long time, the amount of shit that we've done and, like, amount of, like, chances we've taken and, like, all the risks that we've, like, put ourselves through, like, together, like, get to, like, to really ultimately have a really cool company that people really like and have a, that we can form a sense of community around music and, like, throw a really great party. Like, ultimately, like, that's what we wanted to do. But it's really amazing to see the, like, the changes that have happened to us over the last 5 years as to, like, this learning process of life. Cause that's what I figured it was. It wasn't, like, business. It was, like, life. It was, like, a learning thing. Like, nobody knows exactly the next thing to do.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say, you know, 5 years it's not a lot of time. It's actually really quick. Grandson, the first song came out September 2016, so it's been just over 3 years. But at the same time, I feel like we are growing up in this, like, era of instant gratification.
Well, dude, everything's so quick. So that's why I don't like it makes me feel, just the world that we live in general is, like, everything is instantaneous. So it's like, just by being alive, there's already that, like, and knowing what exists and, like, knowing that, like, you have to post shit to, like, be alive and to be, you know, interact with people is, like, already, like, very, like, anxiety inducing, mm-hmm. just to keep up with, like, whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I didn't really start to think about this or, like, even care about it for until it started to be, like, something. I was like, am I comparing myself to people? Like, what am I doing? I'm just looking at things and being like, I wish that I was, I wish, and it eventually made me feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of last year, I made a point to go through every single event that was on my iCalendar. I personally tried to remember a moment from every single show that I played of the 100-something shows I played last year. Every single song that we put out, and I tried to make this list of highlights and lowlights, and at the top of my list of lowlights was wasting my time in this competitive headspace, feeling like a failure because I wasn't as successful as a couple of other artists that I felt I was in the same lane.
Which is 100% bullshit. Like, all that stuff is bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, none of that is real. None of that fear is, like, actually real. And I mean, I don't, like, I felt that, I feel that way now, but for a long time, I still think it's, like, great as used as, like, a tool for the right things, but as soon as, like anything, in moderation, it's like, but if you use it too much, it turns against you. It's like fucking, it's like drinking, you know what I mean? Same time.
We're going to take a quick motherfucking break here on XXY. Okay. And then return, and then we'll just keep kicking it.
All right, great.
All right. All right, we're motherfucking back.
All right.
In
so,
this bitch.
All right, so.
So, one thing that's interesting is, you know, I have a lot of kids hitting me up that want to be in bands or that want to direct music videos or that want to throw parties, promote, whatever the fuck, and they feel that there are these huge barriers to entry. Here you are doing all of those things simultaneously.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people might look at the foundations of Emo Night, the infrastructure that it seems like it is built so solid, and feel that that might be intimidating. There might be a preconception or a misconception that you guys came out as this fully fleshed, fully formed entity. And I'm curious, number one, how you balance those different creative enterprises of doing all these different roles. And then number two, I'm curious if you could shed some light on how you went about getting started and maybe remind people of the process that it really was behind the scenes before anyone first started hearing.
Yeah, dude, you got to keep me on track because I'll fucking talk about shit for like you just half the table if I start doing shit.
All right,
I'll
we'll
go
start.
Back on track. There's already wasted half of it talking about.
No, you're good. You're good. We're talking about how you first and foremost. Let's talk about how you managed to blend those different.
It's
roles.
It's really really hard to blend. So like in my job is an Emo Night. Mine, TJ, and Babs' job is everything. So it's like we are the artists, we are booking, we are creative, we are all these things, and it has been that way for a really long time. And then just until like a couple years ago, we got Ricky, who helps us out as well. So it's like that's a full-time job, right? And then traveling, doing the shows, you know, that's a whole fucking, like, that's tiresome. Mm-hmm. So we were doing that for years, like 3 years. We were doing that every weekend. And also running another company. So we would be doing these shows, flying out. I'd be writing treatments on the plane, flying back, shooting the videos, getting a team of people, because I didn't really know how to do that either. Like, I did like one music video or two music videos at my old job, and then was just thrown out to like figure it out, which was like the best thing for me. And so over that time, like, I ended up like making the 2 years I made music videos, I probably paid to make them. Because I wanted to, because I was like, I like being able to tell a story in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, I like picturing. I always, when I was a little kid, I always would like put headphones on. I do this to this day. Like, I'll put headphones on and write videos for songs that already exist. The videos already exist. I'm like, I could have fucking done this, could have done that. And I always thought it was really intriguing. And I always thought storytelling and visual storytelling and movies and all those things are really, you know, it's awesome. So, the whole time we were doing Emo Night, I was doing that, and Babs and TJ were working on all these other clients and doing all this shit. So relationships got really, really hard. Like, relationships got really, really hard. Health got really not great. Like, mental health got not great, because it's like we had no time to do anything for ourselves. And it was like if we were home, it would be like spending time with significant others, like zero, you know, because they would be home and not knowing what's going on the road, like all the things that we're doing. So it's like,
I totally resonate with that. And the fucked up part is that the people will look at that and go, that's what I should do.
Right. And it's,
you know, that's the only way that I'm going to find success. I think that that's why so many people rallied around Kobe. You know, I think in some ways he embodied that 4 a.m. wake up, singular ambition, drive, And I don't know, because I've spent prolonged time trying to embody that, and I just leave fucking exhausted.
It's exhausting. And like that's why it's like that's why I always feel so tired, but like I can't sleep because my mind doesn't shut off. Because I'm like, I have so many, if like I don't want to. That's why I did those things for free for so long. Because like I don't want to die and be like, oh man, I didn't do that awesome idea that I had because I didn't have $300 extra to like rent something, you know? Mm-hmm. I never want to do that. I never want to not make something because it's like a little bit more effort. And I never want to like be on my deathbed or whatever the fuck I am and be like, wish I should have made that. I should have done that. Mm-hmm. You know, because I have like my, it's a really rough, sometimes it's really difficult. Like I talk a lot about like wanting like a regular job. With like regular hours, mm-hmm. just because like it's so hard to structure my time as a person who's like not good at that, given so many like responsibilities and so many things and having to be so many places and do so many things. I'm like pretty, I had to learn how to like, that was like a really huge challenge for me to like try and figure out how to like time management. Mm-hmm. And now I'm all right at it, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is the same things that make you so brilliant in these different ways and truly, I think, a visionary for what something can be from a creative standpoint. Those are the same things that make you shit at managing your time.
Exactly.
Makes so many of us terrible at managing our money. There's so many things about this job that involve all these other skill sets and all these uncomfortable lessons that you got to learn. And I've always used this metaphor of like this train that left the station. And I listened to Eminem and fucking whoever else, and Biggie, and I Linkin Park. I listened to these bands and fell in love, and then I got on the train.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
Yeah,
I was 15, and then you get on and you start heading, and then the further that you get, you start seeing these different stops and other people get off.
And now you're like, you don't know how to do your taxes.
I guess I got to learn how to, you know, go on these like, radio tours and learn how to be a band leader, learn how to lead.
Not just a band leader, a leader. Like, yeah. Dude, that's the fucking thing is like a lot of people look at it and they go, this looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. This looks like a lot of fun, but like, the part that to me it now is like really fun is like learning things, how to be a person, like time management, how to talk to, how to say I'm gonna like be someplace and then be there and do all those things that like write any other, like if someone writes me, I'll fuck around back. You know what I mean? Little things like that, that like you, the everybody who's looking from the outside, like will never see. Mm-hmm. And they'll never be like, it just looks like we're jumping on tables and throwing shit, mm-hmm. you know? And it's not at all like that. Mm-hmm. It's not at all like that. Like I'm using the like Emo Night and Ride or Cry as like an exercise to be like a more like a better person.
And if you're not careful, all of those skills will get wasted because you're so busy doing those jobs where you're learning those skills.
Yeah,
it's really hard to try to make time to actually put any of this in motion. And I remember I started asking myself these fundamental questions when I finally had a little bit of time off of tour of, like, where did I hope that any of this shit would get me? Like, all right, now I finally do have a song that's starting to move, and I do have a major label supporting me. I have an entire infrastructure around me. All I have to do is untether my imagination from what is really possible for me, leave behind the hometown I grew up in or the kids that didn't believe in me or whatever. Just let go of that and just put my inner Kanye on and ask myself, like, what could this be in its most unbelievable iteration, and just start working towards that. And then also for my personal life, mm-hmm. like, what do I want, you know? And
I think that's a really important question. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people ask themselves that a lot. Like, I did that this weekend. I literally made a list of the things that I want, mm-hmm. like the things that would make me happy, because it's been like a really rough year. Things have been great, like with all the companies and stuff, but like I've been in like a weird spot for the last year, and I was like, what the fuck am I missing? What are these things that I have to do to like, what do I want? And what are the steps that I have to take to get there? So it's like, I just wrote everything down, and I felt a lot better just like doing that, knowing mm-hmm. that like I can achieve some of those things. So I don't know.
Even just picking up that pen though can be such a,
it's heavy, dude.
It's a huge decision.
Pen. Same thing with the phone. Those fucking phone is heavy. You know, when you need some help and you need to like do things that are good for you, it's like hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
Talk to me a little bit about, because I imagine there have been times in your life where you needed to do that and you didn't. Where did that voice in your head come from, where you are taking those efforts to take care of yourself and balance these things out a little more seriously?
Well, dude, I started like running recently because I just figured, I was like, I'm getting older. I'm not going to stop traveling. Like, this is not going to slow down. So either I'm going to like continue to be exhausted and like in somewhat of like a haze, or I am like going to start taking care of like the things that I have to do, or else I'm just going to like shut down and like then emotionally shut down. And then like, fuck it, I'm just not going to be able to do my job. Mm-hmm. So I started like running. I'll just do my best to eat healthy. I try like to sleep shit. Yeah, it's fucking, I do all these things I hate doing. I hate running. Running sucks. Like, working out sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. Fuck you, running.
I hate it. I think it's so, I hate it so much, but I try to look at the positive. I listen to all these old radio shows that I like grew up getting high and listening to in my car. Just like, I like radio so much. It was like the only fucking friends. So I get to like go back and like re-listen to all these things. And but it's how to do it. I had to like write a music video like the other day that I was just like completely like not really inspired by the song. And how do I do these things? It was like kind of what we were saying about how I fucked up my words earlier. It was like, I am grateful to be given the opportunity to like actually be able to exercise. Like, mm-hmm. I put myself in that mindset. I'm grateful to be given the opportunity to like, I get to like maybe make a music video. And that's like a crazy dream that like I would have never thought existed. And here I am like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's a confusing thing. I think also there is this weird guilt around, there is nothing that I think that a human at any polarity cannot normalize. Whether you're at your lowest or you are at a high, you will inevitably find some sort of equilibrium. And I know I certainly on tour, if I'm in a shit mood or if I feel like I've lost that gratitude, I have this compounding emotion where, first off, I'm just tired. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some sinus infection or something that I haven't taken the time to go take care of, so now I feel like shit. And then I'm mad at myself for having no energy. I'm mad at myself for being frustrated. I'm mad at myself for having a short fuse or not being as the kind of leader I want to be, the kind of friend I want to be. And then those compounding emotions, they get you fucking nowhere. Ascribing this sort of judgment to yourself for being a fucking human being, I try not to indulge it anymore. I don't let my friends really indulge in it. I don't because it's just human. You know, part of being a human, it doesn't matter whether you're a human that gets to live their dream or not. You're going to be bound by these sorts of anchors emotionally that bring you back, whether you're fucking tired or you need a bite to eat. I want to talk also about community and how that project started for you and where this sense of responsibility came from in making these spaces for others, and if in some ways you were making them for others or for yourself.
That's a good question. I mean, there's like half the times where I'm like very, very like,
first off, what is community?
Community meaning is like this thing where it's really hard to explain, but I'll do my best. It's basically a space that a couple of my friends that also work in art and nightlife put together as a safe area for us to talk about topics that normally don't get discussed in everyday life. And just as us being like in the nightlife and art world, like the kids that go to those things feel more comfortable like coming to those. So it's like trying to get an audience that like probably needs to talk about stuff to start talking about stuff, showing like talking about like like risks with drugs, like Narcan training. We have like EMTs. We bring in people like that are influential in like music and entertainment and who have had maybe like substance stories, maybe like sexual abuse stories, maybe like depression stories, and have them come and talk to everybody. And then people are allowed to like ask questions. And it's not like it's not an AA thing where it's like you can't drink or do drugs. Like, this is like, okay, so if you're going to do these, how do we do these responsible? And how do we, like, take care of each other if things get out of hand sort of deal? So it happened, like, after Peep died, it was, like, we found a lot of our friends were, like, kind of just fentanyl. It just got to a point where it was, like, affecting very, very close people to us. I mean, it affected me. Like, I OD'd, but I didn't think, you know, I wasn't like, I'm going to start. And, you know, it was like, it took a group of people to be like, we should do this. And it has been difficult because, again, this group of people, we don't know what we're doing. We haven't done this. This is, again, another thing that didn't really exist. And we're trying to make something that didn't exist in reality. So yeah. It's an undertaking for sure, because it's, you know, and the same thing with Emonite. It's just a thing that didn't exist and now it exists. So it's like it's harder when there are no rules.
Yeah, but at the same point, if everyone was waiting for the permission of somebody that had done it before, nothing would ever change.
I know. And that's why it's like, that's what drives me crazy and keeps me up at night. It's because I'm like, I have to keep doing this stuff. I don't ever want to stop doing this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. And it's really, but community meeting is, out of all the things I do, it is really, really important. And now I think we had a talk about trying to like expand it into other cities. So I was talking to you about doing like Texas today, and hopefully moving to like, we're just trying to expand. We have to do it at like such a slower pace because we want other people to be able to do this in other mm-hmm. cities. Like, we want to set it up.
Yeah, building that infrastructure is so important, and it's so admirable. But I guess what I'm trying to come back to around, you know, this sense of purpose. I'm curious whether you're doing this out of, like, do you feel a sense of responsibility to this scene that you are a part of? Is it for yourself? Does it come back to that wanting to leave behind a legacy? Is that ego in itself? I'm curious.
I understand. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. This in particular is because it's the right thing to do. Like, I try to do most things because it's the right thing to do. Like, I had a really good family. Like, I was really lucky to have an awesome family. And they taught me, like, all that golden rule shit and, like, do the right thing when nobody's looking stuff. So I had that growing up, even though I definitely didn't follow that. You know, I kind of strayed away and was, like, pretty shitty for quite some time. And now that I'm not, hopefully, as bad, I, like, you know, I feel like I owe it to myself and to anybody that was, like, in a similar position that I was. Because, like, when I was growing up, I would have, like, loved to see kids that were, like, a little bit older that, like, ran, like, the nights that everybody went to, being like, hey, let's talk about some stuff. And it was no exclusion. It was, like, all inclusion, you know? And I wish that I had that. Because then, I don't know, maybe things would have turned out different. But who knows? If they didn't turn out the way they did, maybe I wouldn't be here. So it's like, you never know. I was like sick of fucking, I think we were just basically fucking sick of seeing kids be so sad and dying all the time and just try to do as much as we can. We give out like, we talk about like a lot of, we bring in a lot of therapists. We give out like, you know, like, not expensive therapy options. Like, we do our best to like give as much information for all that stuff as possible. So yeah, I don't know. I do it because it's the right thing. It does make me feel good. So in some ways, like, that's what I was talking about earlier. It was like, I'm doing this because it is the right thing, but it does make me feel good. So is it selfish? Right? Like, I don't know.
I don't think it really matters. I don't think it gives a shit.
Does it matter? I don't know. I have no idea. If I was doing things specifically to make myself feel good, then I think that that's like a difference. It's like a bonus that like I feel, it makes me feel good as like a person that I can like get joy out of somebody like getting relief. Like, mm-hmm. I guess if in the smallest sense I get, that's the joy that I get. So yeah, it is for me.
Dude, you're fucking selfish.
I know. What an asshole. Nah, man. What a real piece of shit that I am.
No. Let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about a couple more things. We're back here with Morgan, my homie.
We are homies.
Yeah, I'd like to think
I feel like we are. I mean, been watching you for now. It's years now.
Yeah, 2 years now. Crazy. Great.
And you let me do whatever the fuck I wanted to. That was 100%. Great. That was a wild one. That was cool. Really fun. Dude, shoot. We did so much shit that we were not supposed to do mm-hmm. on that shoot. Like, I shot an extra day and we like just weren't supposed to do that. Weren't even there, like rented some fucking weird crazy mm-hmm. horror looking place. And
you know what? It's still the most popular music video I've done, so
that's awesome. Right.
Just because we haven't really had much chance to lean into it, if you're comfortable with it so far, I'd like to talk about addiction. I know it's hit so many fans of mine, and my song Overdose has reverberated in this community. And I want to talk a little bit about that and how you managed to make staying sober something that's important to you, something that's a priority.
Well, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's not. It's really, really rough, dude. Sometimes it really sucks, and sometimes I really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I always just, like, play the tape through, you know? Like, I always do, and then it always passes. Like, never once have I gone home and been like, it would have been a... my night would have ended up better.
Mm.
You know, never once would I have ever done that. Yeah, I'm totally comfortable fucking talking about it.
I guess just share your own experiences as somebody who is living a lifestyle that a lot of people would look up to, want for themselves, and imagine would be having a great time getting fucked up the whole time.
It is.
Maybe shatter that.
Yeah, perception. I mean, here's the thing. Like, 90% of the time, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 90% of the time, I feel fucking awesome. I'm, like, clear-headed on top of it. And then there's like 10% of the time, because I'm a human being, right? Like, you're just normal. Like, it's not once you get sober, everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, we still have anxieties. We still have fears. We still have, like, all of those things. We just now we need to learn how to manage them in ways that aren't self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, I get that those ways. And I get those ways, that, like, all the time. Like, especially at shows. Especially, like... Sometimes I feel fucked up at shows because my brain is spinning so much, you know? Like, because I have to, like, talk to somebody, like, let somebody in, like, do all this shit, be on stage, go this way, run that way, do all these things. And it's in sometimes in a different city, in a different time zone, and it's, like, sometimes I feel loopy and weird, and I wish... So I take a break. I step a fucking sit down for a second,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I sit down for a second, and I play it through, and I'm, like, this wouldn't end well. I mean... I've tried it before many times to, like, try and go back to it, and it always ends the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's always sad and worse and shitty, and it never gets better.
Was it that overdose that you spoke about earlier that pushed you to
That's the one, sober? Yeah, that's the one. I mean, I was sober for, like, 5 years before that, and then I stopped doing anything in regards to, like, sobriety. Like, I didn't have a sponsor, I didn't go to meetings, I didn't talk to people in the program or anything. And, you know, it happens. And it happened. And that was, like, really, really... And ever since then, it's been not easy, but it's been smoother.
Mm.
You know, it's definitely not been easy. But that's just fucking life. Sometimes life throws shit at you. You know? It's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you deal with things. You know? Someone said, like, it's how you deal with things that define you as a person. I don't know. I forget... everything. I have the worst memory in the entire world. It's because smoking shit off foil for like 10 years will melt your brain. I've thought
a lot about that. I smoked a lot of weed out of a lot of makeshift tinfoil bombs when I was like 13 years old, and I have no short-term memory.
It sucks, and it's scary, actually.
Mm.
So, like, it's really scary. Like, I'm afraid I'm, like, gonna have Alzheimer's, and it's not a joke. So, like, I was, like, looking up things on, like, how to prevent that, and, like, I'm doing, like, crossword puzzles. And
I totally feel that, and I've been really, really lucky that very early in my life, people very close to me that had been through really bad problems with cocaine instilled it in my head. I've been smoking weed since I was like 12 years old. It was always something that was around. It was something that was a sense of rebellion. It got me writing, creative.
I don't think
I would be here if it wasn't for smoking weed my whole life. And I was really lucky that by the time it was really a point of contention in my family. Like, my relationship with my parents was really not great at the beginning of high school because I was high all the time. And I was getting high at lunch. I was high in class. My teachers would tell my parents.
Dude, you like fucking music. You did the same fucking thing that I did. They're like, when you go to high school, they go, well, you like sports or do you want to get fucked up with your friends and play rock and roll? And I'm like, well, I'm not... tall,
you know?
So I'm going to do this one.
I was really lucky that my parents, by the time I was 15, they finally said, look, smoking weed is, we hate to admit it, but smoking weed's not that bad. As long as you can hold up your end of the bargain.
Agree.
Do your shit, you know, don't fail any of these classes. Try to keep your grades up. And if you want to get high on the weekends, just try not to smoke weed in the house. But this other shit will really fuck you up. This other shit is not a joke, and we've watched people's lives get ruined by it. And I heard that at a really pivotal time in my life, and because they gave me the freedom to, like, smoke my weed and freestyle with my friends at 4:30 after I got home from school, that really kept me away. And I had an issue one time. I was shoplifting. I think I was shoplifting for like Urban Outfitters. I was like, I just was.
Who
like,
hasn't?
Yeah, I got caught.
If you haven't shoplifted, you haven't.
I got caught trying to steal a wallet. And
you shop from her? Did you ever?
No, Ashley would never. My. No, okay. I got caught trying to steal a wallet when I was visiting my sister at when she was in university.
I'll tell a lie now.
Yeah, my they called my mom. I was 17, so they were like, look, we'll either call the cops or call your mom. So they called my mom, and she was so fucking disappointed in me. And finally, I was like, it finally dawned on me that these people are actually looking out for me. Like, they actually love me.
Yeah.
And why am I on this, like, hell-bent mission to prove them wrong about me? And I was really lucky that I had that. And I tour across America, tour across Canada, tour across Europe, where a lot of kids just don't come from environments where that sort of moderation, that sort of honesty around moderation is there. And you start feeling like a failure, you start feeling like a fuck up. And some of these things are just not that bad for you. And some of them really fucking are.
Dude, I bet if I told my parents, like, at the time that I was doing all this shit, they would have been like, we support you, whatever. But I let it go for fucking years, you know what I mean? Until you're like, totally fuck relationships up, and you totally do. And it takes years to get them back. Even still, I talked to my dad this other day, like just the other day, you know, he's got nothing to worry about. I'm like fucking over here doing all this shit. We're playing coach. Like, things are great. You know what I mean? Like, things are fine. And he's like, yeah, dude, just sometimes I just like lay at night and I can't help but think, I don't want to get a call. You know what I mean? And so, like, I permanently fucked a dude that I love more than anything else in the entire world. I fucked him up for, you know what I mean? Like, he knows I'm chill, but like, now he'll never be think of about me the same. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but like, it happens. Yeah. And what the community meeting started, so like, hopefully kids probably don't have to feel that. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's a shitty fucking feeling.
And if they can't find it anywhere else, fuck it. Then we'll build it with them and for them.
Yeah. So that is essentially a community meeting. And so it's like, yeah, it's like Emo Night, Ride or Cry community meeting. Lot of stuff.
What would you say to the people that want to build things like these out, that have these kinds of ideas, that are sitting there making, you know, treatments in their head that are so profoundly impacted by the kind of music they grew up with and want to pay homage to it in some way? Is there any sort of practical advice that you'd have, or maybe give them a little insight into your process that would make them feel a little more okay with where they're at?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even start working in entertainment until I was like 26 or something, right? So like, I didn't even know I wanted to do this. I was just a kid in Tucson that didn't have a lot to do, but I had really cool friends, and we liked to play in bands, and we liked to drink beers, and we liked to make our own fun. So I was really fortunate. The fact that, like, I had to make my own fun and, like, find things out, that things that I liked out by myself and things that I don't like by myself. Like, I couldn't, like, get out of, you know, on Friday night, go to a club or, like, do all these things that are, like, fucking pre-planned for you in, like, L.A. or New York or things like that. It's a ton of shit to do all the time. I was left with, like, desert and my brain, you know, which was, like, at the time, I was like, fuck this, you know? And now I'm like, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because now I, like, it propelled me to, like, do what I do now and, like, have the ideas that I have now, where, like, I was like, I'm a crazy person. When I literally was growing up, I was like, I am a fucking crazy person. They're going to lock me up in a mental institution when I, like, am 18. And there's no fucking ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those ideas that I had when I was thinking that they're going to lock me up are some of the ideas that I get to, like, use today in my – and for my work and get paid for it, you know? So it's like, I knew in my head that the ideas are cool. I just didn't know if I would ever get a chance to, like, make any of them applicable. There's probably going to be some that I have that I just never be able to do, because there's going to be no budget for me to do these things, like these wild ideas that I've got that I know could be so great, but I just want to be able to do them. But for all the ones that I can do, I'm going to do, you know? So it was like, any weirdly themed emo night, any, like, I want to fly a plane over this motherfucker, like, you know, like, for Coachella, we're going in, you know what I mean? It's like,
as you fucking should, dude.
It's really strange, you know what I mean? Are you playing it?
No, I'm not.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it is fucking bullshit. Fuck you guys, man. No, I did, I got to come out last year.
I've never been.
For Keza Set. You haven't? Mm-mm. It's a really interesting experience.
Where the hell
really
did I see
it.
You? Firefly?
You saw me at something. I have no idea.
I love doing that. That feels really good. Ashley, you know about that. There's
an unbelievable camaraderie.
That you know about that feeling, right? Like where you like see your friends in a like backstage passing, they're gonna go do a set. You just did a set, like your friend, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's a good feeling.
It's an unbelievable bond.
What?
Ash is proud of you.
It's like a good feeling.
It's an unbelievable feeling, and it's a lifelong. Any band that I've ever toured with, anybody that I've done and built anything with, that lifelong, you know, years later, we see each other backstage at a festival or just in a couple days, I'm going to go see a couple bands that two bands that I toured with separate from one another are getting together and playing a show here in LA. They're these dudes called the Glorious Sons who took me on my first ever tour across Canada. Shouts out Brett and the boys, and then Des Rocks, who I had open on my first headline tour. They're ganging up and they're playing together, and it's like the fact that I get to share those kind of stories and those memories, and also the not so great shit.
Yeah,
that when we all got fucked up, and at the time I didn't know that we shouldn't be all passing around one whiskey bottle. Everyone got so fucking sick on that Glorious Sons tour, like. Five shows in because everyone was drinking.
Like, it's like
this is my first time on a tour bus. Now I was like, wow. And you know, somebody passed me a tequila bottle, and I take a swig from it. And the next day, we all have fucking.
Is that like when did it start to get? Does it like feel real to you, or does it feel like surreal and shit?
Which part?
Your whole thing.
Just the touring. It's pretty gnarly, man. It's pretty surreal. I think that out of self-preservation, there are times where I kind of distance myself. Where I check myself out at the door, particularly during meet and greets or when people are sharing really intimate stuff with me, I think that at times it's really difficult for me to really acknowledge that this is my life, this is how I get to live.
But, it's really a strange feeling, dude. Yeah. It really is a strange, strange, strange feeling.
But it's also just the fucking coolest thing.
I struggle with the. You know, like big time imposter syndrome shit.
Yeah, but I think that's part of being human. And
it's, I don't know. It like does it. Everybody's like, aren't you so like now that you guys are? And I'm like, I don't feel like that. Mm. Like, I don't feel that way. I wish I did. Like, there'll be like a couple seconds like after we do something really awesome. I'll be like, that was really great. That was really cool. I'm really proud of myself. But other than that, it's like really when people are like, oh, isn't this awesome? It's like feels not like it's me. It feels like I'm talking about somebody else.
Well, I just think that it's about acknowledging that that's never going to come easy. That's you got to fight for every single moment where you are proud of yourself. You've got to fight for the right to weaponize your self-love against your more self-destructive tendencies. You know, I try and wake up every day and think of some shit that I'm grateful for, and I try to engage with these fans and not lose sight when I'm off tour that the thing that this phone is just an avatar for these.
Yeah, and in some ways, I think that it's really great. Like, how great is that?
It's
like,
the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome. Like, that's
people in Russia.
It's awesome. It's the coolest thing in the entire world.
We have only 5 minutes left, unfortunately. I could do this literally all night, and let's definitely do it again sometime. Mm. I'm going to fire off a couple quick things. And I fucking forgot them all.
We should have done this like before I went to work. I'm like so quick. Like no, the first of the day, I'm like, now I'm like losing.
Oh, no, you're great.
Like,
well, it's great because we have 5 minutes left.
I've been talking all day.
You're doing great. Right. Really quick, I want to give a shout out. Headcount has teamed up with us, and Gibson gave us a gangster-ass fucking acoustic guitar.
I want it.
And
did I win it?
Yeah, you can't have it.
Ah, shit.
But you could have it if you text VOTERXX to 40649. And sign up. Look at him doing it right now. For Headcount Selection Alerts, you can enter to win an Epiphone signed by myself as well as the artist that I'm doing an XXY session with this week. Just fucking did it.
Can't wait to win that guitar.
God, I hope you don't win that. I hope someone else does. But at the same time, this is 2020. We have a sexual predator, known criminal. In the White House, I'm curious, in 2020, what is one issue that you're passionate about that you think is enough to bring people to the polls?
I think everything that we've been going through, like really, dude, I like in the last, like when I went and saw my doctor, like a couple, like a year ago, he is like the amount of antidepressants that I have to prescribe since Trump got elected is out. He's like, I'm not kidding. He was like, the amount of like Xanax and antidepressants, like it's so, the problem is so far beyond anything that we can like comprehend. Like, I mean, that dude has like driven people to probably now get you know, addicted to like Xanax because they can't handle the insanity that we like live in. And just like this constant, it is living in constant, like, I never want to look back at this time and be like, I was living in constant fear and anxiety. Mm. And that is like, it's so unsettling. Like every CNN alert I get, I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right, this is it. Like, this, we're fucking toast, dude. Yeah. So, I mean, how are you supposed to like nail just one when like there's just so the entire fucking thing that we're living in is like this feels surreal.
Yeah, it's all this weird fever.
I was at an emo night when Trump got elected. I was doing an emo night in Denver, Colorado, the night Trump got elected, and this is how I know that this is one of the wildest and most like powerful and weird things I've ever seen in my life. Everybody's like having a great time, right? Like everybody's having a great time except the election. We're fucking on the polls are on the fucking screens. Hillary's like winning, and then Trump starts to go up. Everybody's like, what the fuck's happening? Like, I remember like we're playing songs and like people's heads start to turn towards this thing. All of a sudden, Trump wins. I ask somebody to take over for me. I go outside, smoke a cigarette. All these kids are like fucking sitting on the curb crying, being like, I'm gonna have to like leave my family. Like, I am going to have to like, I don't know how I'm gonna live. Like, it was like that moment I was watching, like, you know, people were truly believing that their lives were over. And then I watched him go back inside and like forget what just happened and have a great time. And then but like that moment of like fear and sadness was something that like I'll never forget in my entire life. Like, that was the wildest. And watching them try to have a good time through, like, that unknown and that uncertainty was, like, one of the things where I was, like, if I was to ever, like, be, like, I don't want to do emo night anymore, I would just think about that moment.
Yeah.
And then be, like, all right, I got to keep doing this.
Yeah, thing. And for all those people that night that so many of us will remember forever, that you and what the identity of emo night, everything that it stands for, was there, and that they had one another in this space, is incredibly powerful. And I think that is just such a beautiful thing. The last thing I want to ask you is some advice you might give 15-year-old you.
Oh, fuck, dude. I don't know. Here's a weird thing. I don't know if I might do it all again. I don't know. I kind of like where I'm at a little bit. I think things could change, but I like the person I turned out to be. And through all those like mistakes that I made, I don't know. Maybe I would have had like arrested development or some shit, but I had to like learn all that stuff. And through those mistakes, like, I don't think I would be who I am. I'd probably tell myself to try to go to college or something, or try and get some sort of like, learn how to, or invent Instagram. I would tell myself to invent Instagram.
I think I'd tell you to invent Instagram.
I would tell myself to invent Instagram. But I don't know, dude. It's weird. I think about it a lot. I think about it because I think that, like, I'm like, my mom was going to name me Max. And I was like, what if I was Max? Like, what if fucking Nat? What would that guy be like? You know what I mean? Like, would he be like 5'10 and not have a fucking heroin problem and like sports and shit? You know what I mean? Like, I always think about like, what if I, you know, what would it could have been like? And I don't know, for where I'm at, like,
fuck Max, dude. I was almost named Justin. Really? I don't know if Justin and Max would have kicked it, but I'd like to think so, dude.
I would have also liked to think it too. Well, we would have just been like really tall and good at sports.
I wish. Well, dude, I'm genuinely really happy for you, and I appreciate everything that you've done for this community. And
same for you, dude. I'm watching you out here just destroy it.
Trying, man.
Doing the right thing. You're like, it's hard to do the right thing, right?
No shit.
The hard thing.
It's actually, I don't find it that fucking hard.
I think it's like arguing with fucking people for like a just cause. It's like, it's got to be exhausting.
Yeah, but that same the sense of purpose and fulfillment I get from it, I can't imagine anything else.
So. See, that's awesome because I don't think I could do it. It's awesome that you can.
Well, let's revisit it in a couple episodes. We'll see how we get.
All right.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.